Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Of the many difficult questions about schizophrenia, two may be the most perplexing. What causes it, of course, and why is the mental illness so often first expressed in adolescents and young people? Well, today, Cambridge and Boston scientists announced that they've made significant steps towards answering both those questions, a major breakthrough that WBUR's Carrie Goldberg is here to explain. She's co-host of our Common Health blog. Hi there, Carrie.
Hey, Meghna.
So first, before we talk about the specifics around the science of this breakthrough, how big is this breakthrough discovery?
Well, it's big enough to get into the journal Nature, which is one of the very top science journals. And the bigness of it is, the reason it's big news is that it not only pinpoints a gene, it also teases out the mechanism by which this gene may lead to schizophrenia. So here's Eric Lander, director of the Broad Institute in Cambridge, where the research was partly based.
What's so exciting with this new paper is, for the first time, we're opening up the black box and looking inside and seeing how does the disease really arise. That makes this, in my opinion, perhaps the most important paper in schizophrenia since the disease itself was ever defined.
Now, Meghna, you could say that Eric Lander's opinion is not entirely free of bias, since the Broad Institute was involved in this research, and he's come under some fire lately for his opinion on another topic.
CRISPR,
of course. The gene editing tool CRISPR, which is a giant biotech thing. But, you know, he's not the only one who's saying that this is a big deal. Bruce Cuthbert is the acting head of the National Institute of Mental Health, and he's calling it a genetic breakthrough, a game changer, and a crucial turning point in the fight against mental illness.
Okay, so let's talk about this gene at the center of this new paper in the journal Nature. What is it, and what's the mechanism behind it?
Okay, so its name is C4, and here's the simple version. This gene, C4, was already known to be involved in the body's immune system. It was kind of like an eat me sign, like it would tag viruses for destruction. But until now, C4 had no known role in the brain. Now, what this new research shows is that C4 works in the brain to prune away, like sculpt away, cut away the connections between neurons, which are called synapses. So that's actually a normal process in young people, but it's looking like some versions of the C4 gene could make this normal process go too far. Now, here's Bruce Cuthbert of the National Institute of Mental Health. He has this great gardening analogy.
The brain actually prunes synapses. You might think, well, that's a bad thing, but actually it's like clearing away the underbrush so your brain can function more efficiently. But in people with this overactive version of the gene, it appears that it may be like you have an over-energetic gardener who's assigned to prune all the bushes in the yard, but goes at it too much and prunes back so much that the bushes aren't really, you know, die off because they don't have enough branches.
Now, I suspect he's taking a little poetic license there, but the image does help. And it does show how this could help explain why the onset of schizophrenia is usually in late teens or early 20s, right? Because that's when there's a lot of pruning happening anyway, and it just goes overboard. I spoke with a really impressive young North Shore woman. Her name is Sydney. She asked to keep her last name private. And she had exactly the typical kind of schizophrenia experience, a really dramatic change in her senior year of high school. She started hearing President Obama talk to her in her head. She was tormented by demons, and she became convinced that she was actually dating Justin Bieber.
I thought Justin set up paparazzi in my backyard, and he was watching me. I thought he would, like, send planes over my house just for me.
Yeah. Now, I'm really happy to report she's doing very well on antipsychotic medication. She hasn't had symptoms for a couple of years. And she says it was clear that the medication was working when her primary delusion, this Justin Bieber thing, went away.
I just woke up one day and I was like, Mom, like, Justin Bieber's not real. And she was like, oh, my God.
Getting rid of Justin Bieber. And Meghna, I know your question. Do we know how this brain pruning can lead to delusions?
Yeah.
And the answer is no, we don't know. Scientists just don't know.
Okay, but just to reiterate what the breakthroughs are, that there's this gene C4 which may contribute to overactive neural pruning, which is usually a normal thing that adolescent and teenage brains go through, but this is sort of super normal in it. Well, I don't even want to use the word normal, but it's an overactive pruning.
Right.
That's now potentially linked to this gene.
Right.
Okay. So a huge breakthrough then in our understanding of the causes of schizophrenia. But will it lead to better treatments then?
Right. That is the obvious next question. I spoke to Steve McCarroll of Harvard Med School and the Broad Institute. He led this team of researchers. And as scientists always need to do, it's important to say, and he says, this is basic research. It's not going to lead to new treatments soon, like in the immediate coming years. But he says it could offer some new targets for drug development. And what's really helpful is that there's already work underway connected to C4 for other diseases because it's already known in the immune system.
But you can tap into knowledge that's already been generated. And that's very important. It's much better than starting from nothing.
So Eric Lander from the Broad Institute has a really vivid way of putting this advance. He says it's like turning on the lights.
You could try to treat schizophrenia by treating its symptoms. You could try to treat it by guessing at targets, but you're largely shooting in the dark. What this whole thing is about, what genetics of psychiatric disease is about, is turning on the lights. So you're not shooting in the dark. You're shooting at the right targets. It still doesn't make it easy necessarily to hit them and to hit them with the kind of precision one's going to need for a mental disorder. But having turned on the lights makes a huge difference.
Eric Lander there from the Broad Institute. Carrie Goldberg, WBUR's Carrie Goldberg, can you stand by for a second? Because I just want to bring in another voice into this conversation about this major breakthrough regarding our understanding of schizophrenia. He's Steve Hyman. He's director of the Stanley Center for Psychiatric Research at the Broad Institute at MIT and Harvard. He's a Harvard University Distinguished Service Professor of Stem Cell and Regenerative Biology and former director of the U.S. National Institutes of Mental Health. Steve Hyman, welcome to Radio Boston.
Pleasure to be on.
So you have been in this world trying to study and understand and even seek a cure for mental illnesses like schizophrenia. In your opinion, how big of a step forward is this deeper understanding of C4 and its effect on neural pruning?
Well, it's an enormous step, as Carrie and the other voices have already said. And I think at the risk of repeating a few things, it's an enormous step partly because it really does give us a handle on mechanism and does suggest avenues for treatment. And I agree, it often, unfortunately, because people are sick today, takes many, many years, often decades, to turn these leads into treatments. But what it does is it ties together so many things. The first thing is that this genetic discovery was unbiased. It didn't come from any theory. It came from a large-scale genetic study. And if we had made this discovery, if Steve McCarroll's lab had made this discovery in 2005, I think we'd all be just scratching our heads. But what happened then is that Beth Stevens, who you've already heard about, had discovered when she was in Ben Barris's lab that these complement factors are the eat-me signals for synaptic refinement or synaptic pruning, which had been totally unsuspected. And this finding then ties together mechanisms of pruning with exactly, as you've pointed out, the typical age of onset. And the one other thing I would add is that in teen years, when people are pruning normally the thinking and planning parts of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, what you see in people who go on to have schizophrenia is they begin to lose cognitive capacities across, you know, many, many different functions, especially something called working memory, the ability to control your behavior and your thoughts in accord with your goals. And so the idea is that you're over pruning. It produces the thinning of the cerebral cortex that's seen on imaging. It might explain the loss of cognition and therefore gives us the first real molecular handle on what might be going wrong.
So actually, you just hinted at the question I was going to ask you. I mean, because there have been, obviously, there has been studies regarding genes and schizophrenia before, but is this the first time that we have such a clear handle on both a particular gene and its mechanism for any mental illness?
Yes, so I would say yes. You know, so About a year ago, Nature also published a very large genetic study on schizophrenia, which found more than 100 regions of the genome were associated with schizophrenia, including this major histocompatibility or MHC locus that harbored C4. And most of those regions, are interesting. Many of them seem to encode proteins involved in synapses, and that would fit actually with what might be attracting the pruning. But we really didn't have a clear functional picture. And what Steve McCarroll and his intrepid graduate student Ashwin Sekar, and I say intrepid because this locus is a thicket of complexity, figured out was where the signal was coming from, the C4 gene. And in so doing, again, by tying it with known mechanisms of pruning, with the recognition that people with schizophrenia have cortical thinning and cognitive loss, all of a sudden, the clouds kind of lifted and the picture started to come together.
Yeah,
I spoke with Ashwin Sekar. He said it was so hard. It was like trying to solve a murder when the suspect can shapeshift. It's just very elusive.
So actually, forgive me if this sounds like a bit of a elementary question, but I want to be sure I understand this correctly. Can we say now definitively that this is the process behind every person who suffers from schizophrenia?
So the answer to that is no. Okay. You know, most severe chronic illnesses, not only mental illnesses that afflict humanity, have many different causes, many different paths. But given the importance of this gene in populations based on the genetic studies, given that this is the tallest peak by far in our plots of genetic results, we think this is very important, perhaps the most important factor across human populations. And the other thing that's important to say is even in those people in whom it is a critical aspect of the illness, it doesn't act alone.
Mm-hmm.
It has many co-conspirators in the genome, and it'll be very important to figure out how the pruning process interacts with those co-conspirators.
Right, so next steps in research then. Right. Carrie, go ahead, jump in here.
Well, I was just going to say, Steve, also I think part of what's so significant about this is that even though this is only one aspect in the process of schizophrenia, it's a very specific one, and that's exactly where mental illness research needs to go. Authorities, like you say, is looking not at broad diagnoses and behavioral patterns, but at specific biological processes, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, before we wrap up here, I mean, this... I'm getting the sense of the enormity of this breakthrough here, again, by researchers in Boston and Cambridge. But Carrie, let me ask you, does this make people more optimistic that we can get closer to, better forms of treatment, but maybe even prevention if we understand the mechanism, or at least one of the mechanisms now?
Right. I mean, that's one of the most tantalizing prospects from this, is that you could even imagine a sort of a prevention. I spoke with Larry Seidman of Harvard Medical School. He's affiliated with the Boston Clinic where Sydney, who we heard before, was treated, called CEDAR, for the Center for Early Detection, Assessment, and Response to Risk. That's the risk of psychosis.
His finding shines new light on a biological pathway to the disorder, where we might be able to intervene and alter that pathway.
So, Meghna, this is still totally science fiction, but you can imagine that a young person has some early signs of psychosis, like they hear their name called, they're feeling suspicious, and they go in and get tested, and the doctors say, whoa, hey, your pruning's really out of whack, let's fix it. You can imagine that, even though, of course, it's very far from reality.
And so, Steve Hyman, last question to you. What are the next immediate steps to maybe get us closer to that distant reality?
Well, we've already begun, together with Steve McCarroll and Beth and other colleagues at the Stanley Center, to work with collaborators who are studying adolescents at very high risk for schizophrenia to begin to look for objective biological markers of over-aggressive and excessive pruning with a view toward being able to predict who is at risk, whom we might intervene in. And then, of course, we, and I think with the publication of this paper, I hope many, many others will begin thinking about safe and effective ways of modulating these biological processes, because ultimately what matters are cures or, even better, prevention.
Well, Stephen Hyman is director of the Stanley Center for Psychiatric Research at the Broad Institute of MIT and Harvard and former director of the U.S. National Institute of Mental Health. Stephen Hyman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great to be here.
And Kerry Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, who brings us this story of this major breakthrough in our understanding of the mechanisms behind schizophrenia. Thank you so much for reporting and for sharing the story with us.
You're welcome, Meghna.
And by the way, we have a beautiful post of Kerry's reporting written up at our website. There's a link to it at radioboston.org. Again, Kerry, thanks so much.
You're welcome.